Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time to be gathered together in your presence and in your name. We thank you for this reading of your word that we're about to partake in. We ask you for your Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our ears and our hearts to receive you and in whatever way you'd like to present yourself to us this day, that we know more, that we may know more of you and draw closer to you. May your light shine, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 32, page 479. This is a psalm of David, a Maskil. So I'm not exactly sure what that means. It's a musical term they imagine. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of the mighty water shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of my favorite songs and psalms in the book of Psalms are of David. Psalm 32 is a very fantastic one, along with Psalm 51. 32, 51. Both of them great psalms. And of course, they're not the only great psalms. But the one thing I loved about David is his self-awareness. David, king over Israel, I don't know how many of you want to... what's the word? Want to confess? It's not a confession, but want to say you know where this quote is from. But do you know where the quote "It's good to be king" is from? Mel Brooks, old Mel Brooks film. It's good to be king, and he kept on saying that when he took advantage of the power that he had, and say it's good to be king. Not a great example for sure. But David was king. He had that power, took advantage of that power. But it's not something that, like Mel Brooks' character, that's something that he reveled in. It's something that always was against him. He was self-aware, especially being that he knew why he was king. He was king because God put him there, to be a beacon and an example for the people, what it meant to follow the Lord. And David knew that he fell short many times in his life. And he didn't always do what was necessary or what was right. He didn't always do what he knew was needed done, but sometimes he did what he wanted to do, taking advantage of that. David was oftentimes unhappy with himself. Now I can commiserate with David on that level, not the power level. I've never been king, and I'm okay with that. But with the not happy with yourself level. Now there is, being unhappy with yourself is not a virtue. Though let me encourage that. I have gotten to the point in my life where my unhappiness was all-consuming by myself and needed to see someone about that so that we could put that in a more normative level. But there is feelings that I think are appropriate where we are unhappy with our actions, because it's appropriate to be unhappy with some of the things that we sometimes do in our lives. I've used, for example, many times, how many of you, and again, you don't have to raise your hands, have said things that you have immediately wished you haven't? How many of you have treated the person who cut you off in traffic in a way that maybe you felt guilty about treating them? How many of you have felt bad thoughts about that person that took 32 items into the 12 item or less line and they were in front of you? These are all mainly lighthearted examples, but there are also much more serious grievances that we've done and committed in our lives. Each of us, maybe not all the time, but there are things that we feel guilty for, appropriately so. And the guilt racks us, and it wears on us, and it makes us afraid of life on occasion. David's been there. He knows the troubles that he's committed. He knows the issues that he has, and he feels that guilt as heavy as anyone else feels it. And he seeks the Lord for repentance, for forgiveness. And you know, the Lord forgives him, saying, David, what you did has been wrong, and you'll have to face the consequences for whatever it is. But I love you, and that doesn't change. I forgive you, and I'll always be with you every step of the way. I've experienced forgiveness in my life through Christ, through those that I've wronged. It's like a weight gets lifted off your chest, off of your shoulders. And we're in this season of remembering forgiveness, the season of Lent. This time when we confess to the Lord those wrongs that we've done, seeking forgiveness, seeking that love that we so desire. But as we seek the Lord for forgiveness, I want us also this season of Lent to take that ultimate step and forgive, but not others. That's for another Sunday. We do that. We'll talk about for forgiving others. I want us, as God has forgiven us, I want us to forgive us, to love us again. As is written in Scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes when we do seek the Lord for forgiveness, to unleash us of that guilt and of that burden and of that shame, that we have this thing where we want to control so much, we want to be in charge of it. And so even though God has taken it from us, we still hold on to it. And we won't let go of that guilt and shame because we're punishing ourselves. I pray that we're able to let go, just to let go, and to allow that love that God has for us to penetrate our hearts in such a way that we have that love for us too. And that in loving ourselves, though we are not perfect, knowing that we are forgiven by those that we have wronged, we are able to forgive ourselves so that we can love others all the more and all the better. It's not easy to let go of that. Sometimes we feel like we don't deserve to let go of that. But if Jesus can forgive us, can't we forgive us too? I pray that we can. because it's one step in the direction that God wants us to go.